ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Text number 42.
Yathā gāvo nasi prothās Tantyām badhās chatām abhi Vāktantyām nāma bīr badhā Vahanti balim īshitu
Yathā? As much as Gavaha, cow, nasi, by the nose, protaha, strung, santyam, by the thread, badha, bound by, cha, also, namabhi, by ropes, vak tantyam, in the network of Vedic hymns, namabhi, by nomenclatures, badha, conditioned, vahanti, carry on, balim, orders, ishituhu, for being conditioned by the Supreme Lord. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. As a cow bound through the nose by a long rope is conditioned, so also human beings are bound by different Vedic injunctions and are conditioned to obey the orders of the Supreme. Purport. Every living being, whether a man or an animal or a bird, thinks that he is free by himself. But actually no one is free from the severe laws of the Lord. The laws of the Lord are severe because they cannot be disobeyed in any circumstance. The man-made laws may be evaded by cunning outlaws. But in the courts of the Supreme Lawmaker, there is not the slightest possibility of neglecting the laws. A slight change from the courts of God-made law can bring about a massive danger to be faced by the lawbreaker. Such laws of the Supreme are generally known as the codes of religion, under different conditions. But the principle of religion everywhere is one and the same. Namely, to obey the orders of the Supreme God, the codes of religion. That is the condition of material existence. All living beings in the material world have taken up the risk of conditioned life by their own selection and are thus entrapped by the laws of material nature. The only way to get out of the entanglement is to agree to obey the Supreme. But instead of becoming free from the clutches of Maya or illusion, foolish human beings become bound up by different nomenclatures, being designated as Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Hindus, Mohammedans, Indians, Europeans, Americans, Chinese, and many others. And thus they carry out the orders of the Supreme Lord under the influence of scriptural or legislative injunctions. The statutory laws of the state are imperfect imitation replicas of religious codes. The secular state or the godless state allows the citizens to break the laws of God, but restricts them from disobeying the laws of the state. The result is that the people in general suffer more by breaking the laws of God than by disobeying the imperfect laws made by man. Every man is imperfect by constitution under the conditions of material existence. And there is not the least possibility that even the most advanced man can enact perfect legislation. On the other hand, there is no such imperfection in the laws of God. If leaders are educated in the laws of God, there is no necessity of a makeshift legislative council of aimless men. There is necessity of change in the makeshift laws of man, but there is no change in the God-made laws because they are perfect by the all-perfect personality of Godhead. The codes of religion, scriptural injunctions, are made by liberated representatives of God in consideration of different conditions of living. And by carrying out the orders of the Lord, the conditioned living beings gradually become free from the clutches of material existence. The factual position of the living being is, however, that he is the eternal servitor of the Lord. In his liberated state, he renders service to the Lord in transcendental love and thus enjoys a life of full freedom, even sometimes on an equal level with the Lord, or sometimes more than the Lord. But in the conditioned material world, every living being wants to be the lord of other living beings. And thus, by the illusion of Maya, this mentality of lording it over becomes a cause of further extension of conditional life. So in the material world, the living being is still more conditioned until he surrenders unto the Lord by reviving his original state of eternal servitorship. That is the last instruction of the Bhagavad Gita and all other recognized scriptures of the world.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitamya Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Translation again. As a cow bound through the nose by a long rope is conditioned, so also human beings are bound by different Vedic injunctions and are conditioned to obey the orders of the Supreme Lord. So here we are hearing Narad Muni speak to Maharaj Yudhishthir in this section. From yesterday's verse, Narad Muni begins to speak, and Maharaj Yudhishthir was in great anxiety because his two uncles and his aunt Gandhari had disappeared, and he asked Sanjay about their whereabouts, and he was also bewildered, and Sanjay also felt that he was cheated by Dhritarashtra because he was a very close minister of Dhritarashtra.
Secretary.
Thank you. He was the secretary, and so someone was mentioning in Bhagavatam class the other day, maybe Gangeshwar Prabhu, that a secretary is usually the closest person to whoever they are secretary of. So they know all the secrets. And so he was surprised that he felt cheated because Dhritarashtra used to consult him for everything and used to tell him everything. And this time, without his knowledge, Dhritarashtra and Gandhari had left. So at that moment, Narad Muni came in the scene. As we know, Narad Muni comes at the right time. So throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narad Muni, we find Narad Muni's presence at the right time. And in all the cantos we can find it. And it's so he came at the right time and he began to... Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Narad Muni about the whereabouts of his two uncles and aunt. And Narad Muni started instructing Dhritarashtra philosophically. Therefore, he was called a learned philosopher. So he started instructing him philosophically about the nature of this world and how everyone is bound up by the laws of karma, which are delivered by the potency of time. So here today we are hearing how all beings are bound by the Supreme Lord. In other words, no one is independent of the laws or the orders of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. So every living entity is under the Vedic injunctions. So, especially back then, everyone was following the codes of religion. But today, no one is following. People will think they are independent. Here a very nice example is given that, as which we all can relate to, and if we go to a goshala, or if you are brought up on a farm, or if you go to a rural property where agriculture is not done in a mechanized way, we can see how a cow is plowing the field. And when the cow is bull plows the field, not a cow. A cow gives milk. So you can see a bull is tied by a rope, and the rope goes in the nose of the bull. And that's how the bull is controlled by the owner of the bull or whoever is plowing it. So they control the bull through the rope. So here it said that in the same way, every living entity is bound by the Supreme Lord. So no one is independent of the Supreme Lord. So, you know, going back some period of time, everyone was more or less bound by the Vedic injunctions. People used to follow the Vedic injunctions up until a few hundred years back. that the Vedic culture disintegrated and people are in the illusion that they are free from the laws of God. As Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, no one is free from the severe laws of the Lord. And the laws of the Lord cannot be disobeyed in any circumstance. So here, Narad Muni is telling Yudhishthira that Dhritarashtra was under the laws of the Lord. And he was put in that position by the will of the Supreme Lord, in that as a king. And by the will of the Lord, he was taken out of that position. So he's actually under the laws of the Lord. So these laws are the codes of religion. And we see in any civilized society, there will be some kind of religious system. So whether it is Christianity or Islam or, you know, Buddhism or even the Vedic culture. So in any civilized society, there is religion. And religion is meant for man. As we know, man can take up to religion, whereas other life forms, they cannot take to religion. So religion is meant for man. And in fact, the codes of religion are for man, and every person is meant to follow those codes. So when we take birth in this world, there is a manual. Just like when we buy any product, it's accompanied by a manual. So in the same way, when we take our birth in this world, we are bound by these religious injunctions. It doesn't matter which country we are born in, which religious system we are born in, but we are bound by some kind of religion. So in modern society, man has rebelled against religion. In fact, it is said that religion is made by man, it's not God made. So these days, society has become very, very atheistic. They've openly become atheistic and they're decrying the presence of the Lord. So they're saying there is no God, everything happens by chance, and somehow we are here and they give the theory, the Darwin theory of evolution. So we are here and by chance everything is happening. And therefore the purpose of life is to enjoy one's senses as much as one can, while not causing harm to others. Be good, you know, don't harm so much to others. Do your best and try to enjoy life and be good to others. And religion was evolved also. That's what a lot of people think. So religion evolved over time. So from monkeys we became, from monkey to man, and in the process somehow religion came to give people a false sense of security, a false sense of hope, and to comfort people. And also religion was created to instill fear in people so they can be ruled. So this is the current, this is a lot of people think like that. And in different ways, they're trying to throw away religion out of society. In fact, it is said that religion is the cause of all kinds of problems. So a lot of people think so many conflicts in the world are happening because of religion. And to a degree it is true, a lot of conflicts are taking place. But just because there's a problem with something, you don't chuck out the whole thing. Prabhupada gives the example of if someone has cataract in the eye, you don't pluck the eye out, you treat the eye. Doesn't mean there's something wrong with the eye. So we see today religion is being thrown out of the window and people are making their own religion. So, and we see so many religions are popping out. Scientology, this one or that ology or that ism. So many religions are coming. In fact, cricket is also a religion. Footy is a religion. So people are creating different, and people think religion is man-made. And therefore we can make religion according to the time, place and circumstance. And they don't have to follow any religion which tells them to, has so many rules and regulations and which will restrict their senses and restrict their lives in various ways. So they find that as an artificial imposition. So all that is chucked out, and instead, as Prabhupada mentions here, the statutory laws of the state are imperfect imitation replicas of religious codes. So instead, people are manufacturing their own laws, and they're saying we cannot break the state laws, but we can break religious laws, the codes of religion, which are the laws of God. But the reality is, even if people think that they are independent, they're not bound by any laws of God, but they fail to see that they are bound by the laws of nature. So no one is still independent. So everyone is subjected to the laws of birth, death, old age and disease. Everyone is subjected to the threefold miseries. So even if people say they are independent, but we see they are not really independent, they are subjected to these four miseries. And everyone is subject to a superior. No one can say I'm just, you know, independent, and whatever I say or think happens. It doesn't work like that anywhere. We are always under someone. So people are under the illusion that they are free, and especially in the Western world, people think they are free. If you come from India, I remember people would tell me, okay, you have come to Australia, the lucky country. Here there's a lot of freedom. You know, you can do what you like. In India, society restricts you in many ways. Your family restricts you. But here you can do what you like. You can indulge in any way you like. But the reality is, everyone is bound by the laws of nature. And in fact, people are forced to work hard because they are neglecting the laws of God. As it says in the Ishapanishad, Atmaha Janaha. Yeke Chatmahano Janaha. That the killer of the soul, whoever he may be, when someone kills their soul in the sense that they neglect the prime responsibility of the human form of life, then what happens is they are subjected more to the laws of nature. So they think they are independent, but they are subjected more and more to the stringent laws of nature because they are breaking the codes of God. So that the punishment comes in the form of people have, as Prabhupada mentioned in the Purport to Ishapanishad, that people have to work even more harder. So people think that, okay, I'm free from the laws of nature and I'm independent, but what's happening is they're working harder. So gone are the days when I was hearing to one lecture by my Guru Maharaj, he was saying that, my spiritual master, he was saying that in the 60s and 70s, people thought that, you know, now we have a 30 or 40 hour work week, and it's always going to remain like this, and in the future we'll have so much time, we won't know how to utilize the time. But the reality today is, most people work more than 30 or 40 hours. In America, it's Europe, people are working very, very hard. In India, you go, a lot of devotees don't want to work in India. I speak to devotees because they say the working hour week in India is every day. In IT, you're working like 10, 11 hours a day for 6 days a week. So people are forced to work hard because they are neglecting the prime responsibility of the human form of life, which is to follow the laws of God. So the punishment is when one has to be absorbed in material life if we are not absorbed in Krishna. So we have to absorb ourselves in the activities of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise the laws of nature will force us to work hard. And as Prabhupada says, a slight change from the course of God-made law can bring about a massive danger to be faced by the lawbreaker. So we see that is one form of danger, one has to work hard. But then other forms of danger we see are when mankind neglects the laws of God and they make their own laws and they think their laws are perfect and they're not subjected to any reactions, and the result is that mankind is subjected to so many reactions in the form of war, pestilence, famine, interpersonal conflicts. So many problems in society are because of people are breaking the laws of God, and that's a punishment. So, in the form of mental diseases, in Yudhishthira Maharaj's kingdom, there was no such problems. The weather was perfect. It wasn't like super windy all the time, like it's in Melbourne, 40K wind, 50K, and it's raining. Suddenly it started raining, then it's cloudy all the time. People are in a depressed state, because one of the causes of depression is said the weather. Weather is also a cause of depression, because if it's gloomy all the time, people are. And those of you who do books can probably relate to this more. If it's a sunny day, people are in a good mood and they buy books. So the weather influences people's mind. So all these are the reactions of nature, because mankind has neglected the laws of God and they're thinking they are independent. So in fact, everyone is bound by laws of God. So someone can relate to being bound when they're bound by a rope or when they are in jail. But people think, because I'm not bound by a rope, I'm free, I can go wherever I want. But people are bound by the laws of the state, by their family, by their work. Everyone is bound, no one is independent. And then Prabhupada further on says in the purport that the codes of religion, scriptural injunctions are made by liberated representatives of God in consideration of different conditions of living. So we know there is Smriti and there is Shruti. So Shruti is basically what is heard, what is heard. In other words, it is coming from the Supreme Lord directly. And Smriti is what is spoken. In other words, it is the Vedic knowledge which is compiled by various sages. So there is this Shruti and Smriti. So we see Srimad Bhagavatam is Smriti. And the Vedas are Shruti and the Upanishads are Shruti. So sometimes people say, religion is also made by man. One of the sages, he compiled your Puranas and your other books which you are studying. So you are saying, religion is made by God, but here we see it's being made by a man. But here, as Prabhupada says, scriptural injunctions are made by liberated representatives of God in consideration of different conditions of living. So the devotees or the acharyas, they don't deviate from the Shruti. They present the Shruti, but according to the time, place and circumstance. And because they are free from four defects, they can present the Shruti in the form of Smriti. So usually the Shruti is very, very hard to understand. One needs to be in the mode of goodness to understand the Vedas. And and today hardly anyone is in the mode of goodness. So the Smritis are, the Puranas are in three modes: goodness, passion, ignorance. And of course the Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Purana, it is transcendental. And we see in the Puranas there are lots of stories, and especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, it presents the direct conclusion of all the Vedas, which is devotional service to Krishna. But these books are compiled by sages who are free from four defects. And according to the living entity's condition in material existence, according to the particular time and place, according to their conditioned nature, they present the Shastra. Like, for example, Srila Prabhupada, he commented on the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. But his commentary, even the previous acharyas commented on the Gita. But it is, we are recommended to especially study Srila Prabhupada's commentary, because Srila Prabhupada's commentary is according to today's day and age, according to our mentality, he has commented. Prabhupada, he's not deviating from the previous acharyas, he's maintaining the Vedic conclusions, but he's presenting in such a way that modern man can relate to it and can even apply it in one's life. So in the same way, the Smriti is compiled by sages according to the time, place and circumstance. So for devotees, even devotees are not free, we are bound by a spiritual master. So as devotees in the Hare Krishna movement, we are bound by the Shastra, we are bound by our Guru, we are bound by authorities. So no one is free. So we should always be happy to be bound by a spiritual master. And if we are not, if we want to be independent of the instructions of the spiritual master, then that's a very dangerous situation. And in fact, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is independent. He cannot be bound by anyone. The Supreme Lord cannot be bound by any conditioned living entity. But the Supreme Lord is bound by his devotees' love. And as we are singing every morning in the Damodar Ashtakam prayers, to the Supreme Lord who is bound by his devotees' love. And we can see that no one can control the Supreme Lord. In fact, everyone is fearful of God. The wind blows by the fear of the Supreme Lord. The rain, it rains because the sun traverses in its orbit because of the fear of God. So under the influence of God, all the laws of nature are taking place by which the conditioned living entities are bound. So the Supreme Lord is fully independent. He's Swarat, Avigya. He's full of knowledge and he's fully independent. No one can dictate to him what to do. But the same Supreme Lord is bound by his devotees. When there is a very, very intimate relationship between his devotees and him. So here Prabhupada says, in his liberated state, a person renders service to the Lord in transcendental love and thus enjoys a life of full freedom, even sometimes on an equal level with the Lord, or sometimes more than the Lord. But in the conditioned material world, every living being wants to be the Lord or other living, Lord of other living beings. So, in the conditioned state, we want to be the Lord and control everyone, but the reality is we are being controlled. No one can control the Supreme. He can just send a wind or stars or this and that, and there is havoc in human society. But a devotee can achieve the same opulences as the Supreme Lord also, because we know there are the five kinds of liberations, especially the four kinds of liberations. One can live on the same planet as the Lord, one can have the same opulences as the Lord, one can have the same form as the Lord. What is the other one? Or I've covered all. One can be in close proximity to the Lord. Thank you. So one can be equal to the Lord in this sense, but still one can be more than the Lord, because Krishna can be controlled by his devotees. So we see when this relationship, when this love is very, very intense with his devotees, then he becomes bound by that love. And we see that in the pastimes of Vrindavan. Krishna is fully bound by his devotees' love. So Krishna is running in fear of Mother Yashoda. So in fear of Krishna, everything else is running in this material world. But Krishna is running in fear of Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda is chasing Krishna with a stick. And he's really fearful. And he's shivering in fright. And tears are coming from his eyes. And he can be bound by Mother Yashoda. So this might seem to be a contradiction. And that's why for many people, they cannot understand Krishna. They say, how can Krishna be God? He's, you know, acting like an ordinary person. So it's very, very difficult for people to understand Krishna. Because Krishna's pastimes are very special. So in the 64 qualities of Krishna, one of Krishna's special qualities is that Krishna's pastimes are very, very unique. So all the other incarnations of Godhead also have their pastimes, but Krishna's pastimes are most unique. So it's very, very difficult to understand Krishna, but he becomes bound by his devotee's love. So we know there's a relationship with Krishna in servitorship, in friendship, in parenthood, and in conjugal love. So there's different intensities of relationship. So I'll stop here. Do you have any questions or comments? Yes, probably.
Jalananda Maharaj was telling me that he was sitting in one class. This is to do with Vedic injunctions. He was sitting in one class to be by one sannyasi. And sannyasi was saying, you know, it's a Vedic injunction that at 50 years old one should leave the family. And then at the end of the class, when the devotee said, you know, I'm 49 years old. I've been married for 2 years and I have a 1-year-old daughter. You know, and the sannyasi said, it doesn't matter. The Vedic injunction, 50 years old, you have to leave them. You know, and Chandananda Maharaj, he was like, you know, amazed, you know.
Yeah.
Someone would say that.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that it's very much according to time, place, and circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, we see many sannyasis in our movement. You know, they take sannyas at 25 and get married at 50.
Yeah.
And that's kind of you.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. That's a good point. That the Vedic injunction, we are bound by Vedic injunctions, but they are applied according to the time, place, and circumstance, under the guidance of someone. That's why our spiritual masters, they tell us how to apply these Vedic injunctions. And Srila Prabhupada also, he got criticized for not following the Vedic injunctions. Like, he said a sannyasi should not cross the ocean. Right? He crossed the ocean, and not only crossed, but he circled the ocean, the planet 14 times. And he allowed women to stay in the temples. Prabhupada did many so-called controversial things, what the people felt were very controversial. He was giving sannyas, he was making Western devotees as disciples, giving them initiations, Brahman, and even sannyas, and he was severely criticized for that. But as Prabhupada knew, the injunctions have to be, the principle has to be maintained according to the time, place, and circumstance. Thanks for that's a very important point. Anything else?
Really, very auspicious day. One person named on Gopashmi, Srinivas Acharya's disappearance is a very important day.
I didn't prepare anything, I can't speculate. Maybe someone else here can like to share.
Srinivas Acharya is one of the first Chinese sankirtan members.
Yeah, I think Samantha Srinivas Acharya and another. Prabhupada's Thakur, they got trained under Jiva Goswami. So they were sent from two from Bengal and one from Orissa. And they were in the training of Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami graduated them. And then he sent them to Bengal as well as to Orissa for preaching purpose. So they sent along with the books of Goswami. So the idea was the distribution and teachings of Goswami. So they had a big car full of books. And those books were kept in a big box and it was bound tightly and it was free. And there were a few guards to protect those books. And three great devotees, three of them, Srinivasa Jaya, Shyamasundara Sundara, Shyamasundara Sundara, they traveled along with the car. And they were about to reach the border of Bengal. Then there was a king, I forgot his name, you remember his name?
Birambi.
So he had one astrologer who could tell everything about what's happening around him. He was king was like a computer and he said rock, so he wanted to see whatever valuable comes from the traveler. So he found that okay, there's something really valuable that comes from. So he sent his other thieves to steal the whole books. And he didn't know about it, he knew only it was valuable. So when they reached, it was late night and everyone was quite tired and everyone was sleeping. So even the guards were sleeping. That time they actually took all the books. And they took the books and they didn't know what it was and they took it. And next day morning, Srinivasa Jaya wrote the three great devotees. They were lamenting because this is the most valuable thing they could have because it's the whole box of Goswamis. And they are meant to distribute among all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas in Bengal and in Orissa. So they were thinking what to do. And at that point, Srinivasa Jaya, he had a vision that he would be able to recover the books. And he said to Shyamananda Pandit and Narottama Thakur, you go. Narottama Thakur go to Bengal and Shyamananda Pandit to Orissa and continue preaching. At the same time, I will recover these books. So he went, he found, he had a vision of it. He would be able to recover them from the king. He went and approached the king. And he asked the king to give the book. So it happened that there was a pandit who was reciting Bhagavatam in the court of the king. And he used to give different explanations to Bhagavatam. And Srinivasa Jaya went and he actually gave a narration of Bhagavatam. And hearing his explanation of Bhagavatam, even the king's priest, this pandit, he surrendered himself and the king also surrendered. So then two things happened. One thing was the king had a dream and in that dream he got the vision that Srinivasa Jaya was the general spiritual master and the king was his disciple in the previous life also. So from that he was completely blinded and he surrendered completely under Srinivasa Jaya. And the second point is that when this king got the whole box, he opened the book and he actually saw the handwriting of Sri Rupa Goswami because the Goswami's books were there. So when he first saw the handwriting of Rupa Goswami, he said he got Krishna Prema because the handwriting of Rupa Goswami has to over Krishna Prema just in the writing. So he said he was completely transformed even with that engine. So like that then he became a great Vaishnava. And Srinivasa Jaya continued and he recovered the book and he continued to
Hari. Thank you.
In Vrindavan, the Shukrina, Radha and Rani were kept by the Gopas on the internet.
Thank you. Grantharajam Bhagavatam ki Shri Prabhupada. Thank you.